Brachos Daf Samach Beis. We quote a brisa that Rabbi Akiva says that he went into the bathroom and followed Rabbi Yeshua so that he could learn from him what proper bathroom etiquette was, and he learned that you shouldn't defecate facing east to west, you should only expose yourself while you're sitting, and you should only wipe yourself with your left hand. But Nazai is like, how could you do that? How could you follow your rabbi into the bathroom? That's pretty weird. Rabbi Akiva's like, what can I do? It's Torah, I have to learn it. So Ben Azai says, I later followed Rabbi Akiva into the bathroom and I learned these same three things about east to west, exposing yourself while sitting, and wiping with your left hands. Rabbi Yehuda says, how could you do that? You're following your rabbi into the bathroom. And Ben Azai said, what can I do? It's Torah. I have to learn it. Rav Kahana hid under Rav's bed and he was very surprised to hear Rav joking around with his wife. So he's like, what are you doing, Rav Kahana? Sorry, what are you doing, Rav? And Rav said to Rav Kahana, what are you doing? This is not proper for you to be here. And Rav Kahana says, listen, it's Torah. What can I do? I got to learn it. So going back to what we said before, why can you only wipe with your left hand? So a few different answers. Rava says it's because Torah was given with the right hand by Hashem. Rava Bar Barchana says it's because you use that hand to eat. Reish Lakish says it's because you tie your tefillin with your right hand. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that you follow along in the Torah with your right hand. Rabbi Brisa, which says kind of similarly, Rabbi Lazar says it's because you eat with your right hand. Rabbi Yeshua says it's because you write holy things with your right hand. And Rabbi Akiva says it's because you follow along in the Torah with your right hand. Rav Tamchem Bar Chanilai says, if you're modest in the bathroom, then you'll be saved from the snakes, scorpions, and demons found in bathrooms. And there are some that even say you'll even have nice dreams. There was a bathroom in Tveria that even during the day, people would be harmed by demons in it, meaning even if they'd go with two people, then they would still be harmed because the demons were so, like, you know, they were so powerful in that bathroom. And so Rav Ami and Rav Asi went into the bathroom alone during the they went alone into the bathroom and they weren't harmed because they were modest in the bathroom. And just like you have to be modest and silent in the bathroom, so too you have to be silent and daven for mercy when you are faced with suffering. Abai's mother raised a sheep to follow him into the bathroom so that he would never be alone in the bathroom. Not actually a goat, because the demons in the bathroom look like goats. Before Rava was the Rosh Yeshiva, his wife would ring a bell while he was in the bathroom, so again, it would be like he was alone. Once he became the Rosh Yeshiva, his wife made a window in the bathroom and she would put her hand on his head, because then it was even more like he wasn't alone, and the demons are more prone to attack someone who's a greater Talmud Chacham and in a greater position of Torah. Ula says that you should only defecate behind a wall and only in an open area if no one is around that can hear. Isi Bar Masna teaches you can only go behind a wall if no one can hear you, and you can only go to an open area if no one can see you. However, we have a Mishnah that says that the people who are guarding the olives from becoming tamei, meaning they're standing guard to make sure no one comes who's tamei and touches them and makes them all tamei, impure, they're allowed to go out and defecate behind the walls and the olives will stay tahor. However, this implies that when they're going behind the wall, this is even if they're close enough, even if they're close to others. And seemingly this contradicts Isi Bar Masna, because if you're behind the wall and you're close to others, then people will be able to hear you. So we answered that in this case, we are lenient, we're makil, to keep the olives tahor, meaning we're not going to make them go, you know, a mile away where no one can hear them, and then they won't be able to watch the olives, so we were lenient here. However, the rest of the Mishnah says that they only go far enough away that they can see someone who might come in. However, if they can see someone who might come in, then someone who comes in can see them. So this implies that you're allowed to go to the bathroom in an open area, or you're allowed to go to the bathroom even if someone can see you. And that contradicts Isi Bar Masna, who says it has to be far enough away that no one can see you. So we answer again that we are makil, we're lenient for keeping the food tahor. Rav Ashi says that you can even say that we just can't let someone see your exposed flesh, but seeing someone in general while you're going to the bathroom, that's fine, that's not a big deal. So there's a eulogizer who was talking about this guy, and he's like, wow, this guy was so modest. And Rav Nachman said, did you see him in the bathroom? Because the Brisa says you can only call someone modest if they're modest in the bathroom. So, okay, why did Rav Nachman care, though? Because there's another brisa that says the dead and the eulogizers and the people who respond amen after the eulogizers will all be punished for false praise of the dead. There's a brisa that says that you should defecate at night in the same place as you do during the day, meaning in a very modest place. However, Rav says that you don't have to distance yourself at night. You don't have to go far to find a private place at night. Rava would travel up to a mill during the day, but he wouldn't travel at all during the night. And Rav Zera also, he didn't care. So we see that all these people at night, they weren't so modest. So we answer, no, it means at night you should go to the bathroom the same way you would during the day, meaning just as modestly. Even if you're in a more public place, you're still doing it as modestly as possible. Rav Ashi says, it means that you can even say that you have to go to the same place, that just like by day you have to be in a very private place, so too at night. And it just means that at night you should be in a private area. That's what it's talking about. And even though they wouldn't travel far, these Rebbeim would still go to a private area. Rav says that you should go to the bathroom early and at night, because then you won't have to go far away, because if it's very early, no one will be awake. If it's late at night, no one can see and be awake. Benazir also agrees with this. If you're trying to manipulate yourself, meaning to so you won't be constipated, then you should first stand and then sit. However, you shouldn't sit and then start manipulating your body to be able to like loosen up things and not be constipated. And if you do this, if you start sitting, then even the magic that's being done across the world will be able to harm you. If you accidentally did manipulate yourself after you were sitting, then there's like a whole thing you could say that will hopefully keep the magic away from harming you. Ben Azai says that you shouldn't lie on the ground and you shouldn't sit on a high beam. Shmuel says you should sleep at dawn and you should go to the bathroom at dawn. These are very beneficial things. Bar Kappa used to sell words of wisdom. Say, when you're hungry, you should eat right away. When you're thirsty, you should drink right away. If you have to go to the bathroom, you should go right away. When they start selling figs and the people all come in to buy the figs, a son should even sell for his father, even if his father's not there, because you don't want to lose all the business. Rabbi said to Rava, when you go to the bathroom in the fields, don't look around because maybe there will be women there. Rav Safra went to the bathroom and Rav Abba came to the bathroom and he started coughing because he wanted to inform Rav Safra that he was there. So Rabbi Abba started coughing and Rav Safra said, oh yeah, come in. And then after they were done, Rabbi Abba says, why'd you talk to me while you were in the bathroom? You're not allowed to talk. Because we know that in the base of Mikdash, there was a bathroom and it was called the honorable bathroom because there was a lock. And if it was locked, you knew someone was in there. If it was unlocked, you knew it was open. And therefore, no one ever had to talk while in the bathroom. So how could you talk? So Rav Safra, the reason he talked was because he thought that Rabbi Abba was in danger, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says if you force back excrement, then you might get dropsy. If you force back urine, you might get jaundice. So he thought that if you hold it in, he was gonna get hurt, harmed. Rabbi Lazar went into the bathroom and a Roman pushed him out of the way, and then he watched and a snake came and killed him. Rabbi Lazar says that David said to Shaul, I should have killed you when he snuck up on him in the cave, but because you're trying to kill me, I should have killed you. But because you were so modest in the bathroom, while you were going to the bathroom in the cave, I couldn't bring myself to kill you. And the Brisa says that he was in a sheep pen, within a sheep pen, in a mountain, within a mountain, in a cave within a cave, and he was so meaning he was in a cave within a cave, and he was so modest that, you know, David just couldn't bring himself to kill him. Rabbi Elazar says he completely covered himself with his clothes. Yossi Berebi Hanina says that because David cut Shaul's cloak and disgraced the clothes, later on when he got older, the clothes didn't help him because they kept putting layers and layers upon him, but he wasn't getting warmer. Belazar says that because David called Hashem an inciter to Shaul, David was later incited by Hashem to count Bnei Yisrael, which is also, you're not allowed to count Bnei Yisrael directly. You have to do it by giving in coins because you can't count like from person to person. And by counting them, he brought this big plague to Bnei Yisrael, which lasted until the appointed time. So if Chanina says, what's the appointed time? So the time that they would shecht the morning tamid karban until the time that they would sprinkle the blood. Rabbi Yochanan says that the appointed time was until Chatzot. Rabbi Lezer says that Hashem told the angel to kill the great one, who was Avishai ben Tzruya, who was enough to atone for the sins of the entire Bnei Yisrael, because he was equal to the majority of the Sanhedrin. He was so great, so killing him would atone for all their sins. Hashem saw and reconsidered his plague. What did he see? Rav says that he saw Yaakov. Shmuel says that he saw Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Bar Nafka says he saw the money that Bnei Yisrael offered at the first count in the Midbar when they all gave their shekels to be counted. Rav Yochanan says he saw the base of Mikdash. Rav Yaakov Bar Idi and Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni are in an argument. One says that Hashem saw the silver of their atonements, and one says that he saw the base of Mikdash. However, the base of Mikdash makes more sense because we say the pasuk Hashem Amar Hayom Behar Hashem Yira'eh, which is talking about the base of Mikdash. The Mishnah says that you can't enter Har HaBayis with your staff, and all these things that's going on about all these proper ways to show proper honor in the base of Mikdash. So they said you can't make it a kapandria. So what's a kapandria? Rava says it's a shortcut, meaning you can't use it as just a shortcut. Rava Bar Havuya says that if you go in not for a shortcut, even into a shul, if you go in not for a shortcut, you can use it as a shortcut. Rabbi Abo says if there was a path before the shul was there, you're allowed to go and use it as a shortcut. And Rav Huna says if you enter the shul to daven, then afterwards you're allowed to use it as a shortcut. The Mishnah said that spitting is usher and the base of Mikdash. We learn it from a Kal Vachomer. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that spitting on Har HaBayis on by the base of Mikdash today is like spitting in the eye of Hashem. Rava says you're allowed to spit in a shoe. You're allowed to spit in the shul just like by a shoe. Because we know that a shoe, you're not allowed to walk with your shoes on the base of Mikdash, but you're allowed to walk with your shoes in a shul. So too, you're not allowed to spit in the shul, but like the shoe, you are allowed, you're not allowed to spit in the base of Mikdash, but like a shoe, you're allowed to spit in the shul. However, Rav Papa says, why don't we learn from the shortcut that just like you can't make a shortcut in the base of Mikdash or in the shul, so too, you can't spit in the base of Mikdash and the shul. So we answer that because in our Mishnah, and we bring in a Braisa, spitting is learned out from shoe. It says we derive a Kal Vachomer, we learn from the shoes that you can't spit in the base of Mikdash, so we compare it to shoe. And this is what the Kal Vachomer is. It's that if wearing shoes into the base of Mikdash is not, it's not a disrespectful thing, you're still not allowed to have them in the base of Mikdash, all the more so, spitting, which is disrespectful, you can't do in the base of Mikdash. If Yossi Bar Rabbi Yehuda teaches a different Kal Vachomer, he says, if you're not allowed to wear sackcloth on in the base of Mikdash, and that's something which isn't gross, then spitting, which is gross, obviously you can't do in the base of Mikdash. So anyway, Rav Papa answers back. So it's true that we do learn spitting from a Kal Vachomer of shoe from a Beis Hamikdash to the shul, but why can't we just learn spitting from the shortcut and just be more strict? Meaning, yeah, it's true that spitting is compared to shoes, but we can still learn it out from shortcuts that shortcuts are usher both in the Beis Hamikdash and in shuls and just be more strict. So Rava answers that it's because a shul is like your house. In your house, you don't care about people using your house with their shoes. And by spitting in your house, you don't care if people wear shoes or spit in your house. But you do care about people using your house as a shortcut. Therefore, the same things apply by a shul. You're allowed to wear shoes and spit, but you cannot make it into a shortcut. Shkayach.